another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Small Business Consulting to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and nationally recognized accounting software expert Doug Slater. These highly sought-after thought leaders discuss the tricks and techniques used by the profession's top-performing small business accounting consultants. Learn what's hot and what's not as they cover QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Accounting, and the myriad of add-ons that make small businesses work better and help them be more profitable.
Hello, Greg LaFollette, recording Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 7, part of our recurring monthly podcast series of the CPA Technology Advisor called Intersection Live. We actually record a whole host of them, and if you check out our website at cpata.com or cpatechadvisor.com, take a look at Intersection Live, you'll see our whole list of the granddaddy tech to go and accounting firm security to go and document management for accountants to go and small business consulting to go. My regular recurring guest, my friend and probably well recognized as the country's leading expert in what used to be just a QuickBooks world and is now a very large world that includes lots of other things, is my friend Doug Slater, president of the Slater Group. And Doug, you're with me from Pleasanton today, right?
That's right. Good to talk to you, Greg.
Hey, thanks for coming back and sharing your time. You know, you've been doing small business consulting and basically helping small businesses and mostly helping the consultants who help small businesses for a long, long time. Kind of started out just learning a couple of the tricks of that newfangled QuickBooks program when it first came out of the chute, and you've been around that world and risen very quickly to the premier spot, and I very much appreciate your taking the time. You know, your column in the CPA Technology Advisor is very, very well thought of. In fact, you know, I want to talk to you about this, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings come in and it's actually read more frequently than mine. It gets higher ratings, and I'd like you to back off just a little.
Well, I'll just mention you all the time, Greg, and talk about how smart you are.
Right.
Now, your column is fantastic. I mean, a little mutual admiration here or something. But
you and my mother think so. Our readers think that you've got the good one, and they're the ones that count. Well,
yeah.
Listen, we've got about 45 minutes today, and we're gonna talk about, as we usually do, we're gonna try to talk about one specific thing in the world of small business consulting. And we don't mean to talk when we talk about this, we don't mean to talk about QuickBooks only, but I mean QuickBooks is frankly kind of the 900-pound gorilla, so sometimes it almost becomes a small Q noun that, you know, that when we talk about it almost means other things, and I'm sure the people at Intuit wouldn't like that, but you know, sometimes we use the word a little bit too freely because we're really talking about lots of other of those GLs, you know, those products, Peachtree and Microsoft Office Accounting specifically. Isn't that right, Doug?
Well, yeah. Much of what we have to both teach to the consultants and to recommend to the small business owner is products that solve their needs, and very often that's QuickBooks, but very often that's a Microsoft Office Accounting product or a Peachtree product, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses, so we certainly don't try to say there's only one solution. In fact, that's what this whole show is about, is there's so many solutions, how do you break all this apart and think through what you're going to do in your situation?
Right. If it were just those three and maybe a couple of others, but if it were just that, it'd be fairly easy. But it's actually huge because you've used this word ecosystem, and there are certainly hundreds, and heck, maybe even thousands, but certainly hundreds of really good, what I would kind of look at as vertical software products that add on to either QuickBooks or Office Accounting or Peachtree and provide additional functionality, very, very specialized but very deep. And you've been awarding some of the best and the brightest of those at your conference, at the Sleater Group conference. You've been awarding them what you call the Awesome Add-on Award. And those are pretty highly sought after now in that world, right?
Yeah, that's right. We hold an annual conference every year toward the end of the year. This year is going to be November 10, 11, 12 in Phoenix, or 10, 11, 12, 13 in Phoenix. And the people that come to this are the accountants primarily, and the small business consultants who are in the business of helping their clients get smarter and streamline their systems. And we also ask a lot of vendors to come of solutions. And what we do to help the audience is we kind of pick what we call the best of breed, and I keep the number down to about 10 or 12 or 13 or something, winners of all of the solutions out there that exist that I consider to be, you know, sort of best of breed, standout products. And it's more than just the product. It's did the company that's developing the product, have they developed within their company a sort of a reliable customer experience? Like, do they have a real sales force who can help people who are interested in looking at solutions? Can the salespeople help them determine their needs and determine the right fit? And support, do they have available support? Because no matter what the solution is, when you go and try and get it implemented, you're going to need to talk to the vendor and ask for support of various types. So in order to be an awesome add-on winner, a company needs to have not just great product that integrates really well with general ledger software, but they have to also have developed the rest of their company, sales support, maintenance, ongoing kind of business around it. And so the winners, you know, really have distinguished themselves way beyond just a cool product.
But it's fortuitous that you picked about a dozen of them, because we do this show every month, and I think there were a dozen of them, and we've been going through those and actually inviting one of the people from each of those awesome add-ons onto the show and talking with them a little bit and making sure that all of our listeners understand exactly what they're doing. We've been kind of slogging through those one at a time. We actually have one on that we'll invite in. That'll be dialing in a little bit later, and we'll kind of hold that for right now. But you know, we'll get to all of them by the end of the year.
That's right.
Doug, before we go any farther, I do want to point a couple of things out to our users. And the first is that to remind you that we do extensive show notes, so it's not necessary to go scribbling something down. You don't have to go off and try and remember, you know, what were those dates that Doug said, or, you know, whatever, what was the name of that company, or what was that website, that sort of thing. All you got to do is go to the magazine website, cpata.com or cpatechadvisor.com, and take a quick look at Intersection Live, and you'll see Small Business Consulting to Go. Each of the episodes is there, and a single click will give you a detailed list, hyperlinked. All of that information is in there. So sit back and relax, and don't worry about having to grab a pencil and write anything down, especially if you happen to be driving down the road when you're listening. So just a quick note on that. And then a couple of others. We do maintain a voicemail box, and we get questions from listeners, I was going to say readers, from listeners occasionally, and we sometimes invite them on the show. Sometimes we just take the question and answer it, or we play the question and do it that way. But we handle all of those things. And so if you have those questions, dial 800-456-0864, and the extension is 2106, and call and tell us how great Doug is and how much you enjoy his column and or whatever your comment might happen to be. And if we like it, we'll put it on the air, and that'll be kind of fun. So those are just a couple of things. Finally, we are recording today again live on TalkShoe. So we occasionally have people that like to dial in and listen to us live, and we'll occasionally bring people into the conversation. So if you do happen to want to listen to us live, go to TalkShoe.com and grab an account. It's free, simple, easy. And we will be recording our next episode 8, on May 8th at 4 p.m. Central Time. So that's May 8th, 4 p.m. Central. We'll be recording our next episode. We're going to be talking about QuickBooks Point of Sale, and this is a really, really hot topic. If you've got clients who need or use Point of Sale, you'll want to listen. If you don't, you'll want to listen because you're going to have clients, right, Doug?
Absolutely. Point of sale is huge and growing, and there's so many clients just up every main street of every little town in America that they do retail business, and often they're just using these underserved or under-featured solutions. And
right.
So, yeah, point
yeah,
of sale.
So that'll be. I'm looking forward to that. That'll
yeah.
be fun because, quite frankly, there are some of these there are many of these areas in the very special parts of small business consulting that, you know, where I very quickly understand how limited my knowledge is. So I learn an awful lot by doing this, and I enjoy it a lot. And we will not be recording in April. I'm out of the country for the month of April. I'm going to Brazil with a Rotary Group Study Exchange group, so I'm out of the country for the entire month of April, and Doug was kind enough to let me off the hook so I don't have to call him from Sao Paulo and try to record Small Business Consulting to Go. We're just going to give everybody the month off, and we'll be back in April. So let's hop into our topic, and it's very different from next month's topic, that QuickBooks point of sale. It's very different, but also in a lot of ways kind of related, because we're talking about inventory and inventory tracking options and how some of that stuff works. And Doug, I've been at your conference for several years, and just as an aside for anybody that's listening, you're going to have, my guess is you'll have north of 1,000 people there this year, and they are rabid, rabid people. I mean, these people really know their stuff, and they're all about getting the very, very most they can out of every different piece of QuickBooks and Office Accounting and Peachtree and everything else. They're heavy duty people. Lots of stuff in there, so I would encourage you to think about joining that. And if you're going to do that, do it early, because you sell it out every year, don't you?
Yeah, we have, and this year again, we've got a venue that we could sell out again quite easily. So
right.
It's definitely let us know early. We haven't opened registration yet; it's still early, and
right.
we're recording this in March, so. By the time most of the people are listening to this podcast in your car or something, we'll most likely be taking registrations. Just go to Sleater.com, www.sleater.com, and you can learn all about it.
Okay. Well, let's jump over here and start talking about this inventory tracking options. Doug, when do you use QuickBooks for inventory? I mean, I know it's got some, well, I would say rudimentary, that might not be the kindest word, but it's certainly not full featured inventory within QuickBooks. Or if it is, then there are a lot of add-ons that are way more full featured.
Yeah.
So how do you characterize this?
Yeah. Well, you know, QuickBooks has really focused for all of its history on making a very easy to use accounting software product. They focused a lot on making the workflow for AR and AP and even purchasing and sales order kind of things. QuickBooks is really focused on that. When it comes to the inventory tracking, I guess I just think of it in terms of the designer, the software designers at Intuit. They looked at inventory and said, yes, we need to make some function here to allow people to track inventory. But they didn't have as a design goal making every type of inventory scenario fully built out in the software.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is because if you try to do that, you're trying to be very vertical. Inventory as a topic is so broad.
Right.
There are so many different kinds of inventory tracking out there, and we're going to go through several of them here, but it's just too big to bite off in a GL product, and that's why I look at the big topic of inventory and say, well, it's actually a collection of several verticals, and we have found several companies out there who have attacked those verticals. So, you know, anything from job shops who want to, you know, track jobs with raw material and put them together into, you know, sort of a custom manufacturing kind of world. That, there's a real inventory need for those guys.
Sure, because they have things like roll-up products and,
right.
and stuff like that that are really kind of special needs, right?
Yeah, and bills of materials that are right. really complex, and sometimes they're outsourcing a piece of the manufacturing component, and so they need to, you know, have as part of their tracking in their company, outsourced product development or product manufacturing. So, you know, inventory is big, and back to your original question, when you think about QuickBooks or Office Accounting or Peachtree, they all kind of do a pretty rudimentary version of those. If I had to say which of those three general ledger products had the best inventory, just from the raw inventory feature set, I would probably say it would be Peachtree, because they do
the
allow you to
product,
do.
Right?
What's that?
That's the oldest product. I mean, they've had more time to kind of refine that.
Right, and they've put in tracking methods that accountants all insist on, like last in, first out inventory, and first in, first out inventory
right.
valuation methods. So as accountants, we need that, and of course, QuickBooks has average cost only, as does
right. which accountants don't like.
Right. Yeah. It's there's this thing called GAAP.
Right.
Generally,
yeah. It's a pesky thing that. It
yeah. Yeah. And for those of our listeners who don't know what GAAP means, it's generally accepted accounting principles that we all have to sort of abide by. That is when we get to be larger companies and reporting financial results, certainly when we're a public company. You know, you have to really get concerned about things like that. But your general mom-and-pop client probably is just fine with using an average cost methodology.
Sure.
So that's why it is, in many of our client scenarios, just fine to use an average cost approach to inventory.
In a lot of cases, Doug, it's actually probably more accurate than either LIFO or FIFO, just because of the way the world works.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's kind of in between. It's just that professionally it's not GAAP.
Right.
But it is
right.
ACBOA, right?
Right. So maybe you'd agree with this, Greg. The way I think of it is, the client or the consultant shouldn't get all hung up on LIFO, FIFO, average cost. That can't be the only thing you focus on.
Right.
and maybe there is a client out there that just has to have FIFO. Okay, well then you got to look at that.
Right.
But it isn't something that should, you know, people should fall on their swords if they can't get that one feature.
So if you pick up the phone one day as a consultant, you pick up the phone one day and somebody's calling and they got, you know, they need some help setting up their accounting system in their office. You know, they're just in there. You know, you say, you know, what do you do? And they say, well, I'm a widget salesman. You know, I buy widgets from the widget manufacturer, and I buy, you know, a box of red widgets. That's all I sell, is one thing. I buy them from the manufacturer, and I sell them, you know, out the front door. And that's what I sell. QuickBooks inventory would do a great job of that, right?
Yeah. In fact, the part of that makes me say yes to you is you framed your question, and this is the key for consulting, is always listen to what the client is saying they do and think about the workflow. So what you just said, Greg, was you said I'm a widget salesman, which I converted that slightly into I have a business that buys and sells widgets. And you didn't tell me that you had a storefront, so I'm going to ask a follow-up question to find out what your point-of-sale needs are.
Sure.
But you also framed it in terms of, I really just have a few different widgets. I think you only said one, but I'm going to say you had 30.
Yeah.
30 widgets that you sort of keep in inventory and on hand, and when people order, you just sell those out the door.
Yep.
So your scenario is actually pretty common and pretty simple. And QuickBooks, Peachtree, or Office Accounting, you know, I would use for those things. Now, the key is if you told me I had 3,000 widgets, then I would immediately start going the other way and say, no, no, no. So if you tell me you're doing 30 now, but you're growing, I'm going to ask you questions about do you plan to grow? Do you going to have a lot of obsolescence in your inventory that's going to turn over? And so widget ABC today will no longer be available next month, but it'll be replaced by CBS. So obsolescence is something I look a lot at.
And mix. I mean, a lot of times what I would hear a client say is, well, you know, right now I have, you know, I have red widgets and blue widgets and green widgets, but mm-hmm. I've been thinking about putting them, you know, making an assortment. So now I'm gonna take, you know, a red one and a blue one and a green one and put them in a box and sell that as a multicolored set.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, I'm starting to go down the road. We may be beating this widget scenario to death here. Sometimes metaphors start to fail. But I think the point is you don't have to get very far down the complexity road
right.
before you start to say, you know what, we're gonna need something else. We're gonna need one of these add-on things.
Right. Exactly. That's
okay.
You pretty much nailed it. It's the complexities get really complex pretty quickly. So when you framed that initial thing, it's actually, I said it was common, but actually if you start peeling the onion on that scenario, then the client sort of assumes they can do, you know, you just named mixtures or kitting up of multiple things. Things get pretty complicated quickly. So, yeah, be careful about just saying, oh, well, we'll just use the inventory module in QuickBooks and be good to go.
Right. I hear people say, you know, we can make this foolproof. And you go, boy, clients can be, you know, fools can be really ingenious,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to doing that. So you got to be careful.
That's right. That's right. So.
So yeah. we've got something. So let's talk about some of these add-on things.
Right.
You know, first of all, how do they work? Who are they? What do you
right.
look for? How does that work?
Yeah, so this goes back to Intuit recognized, as well as Microsoft when they developed Office Accounting and Peachtree. They all recognized that their general ledger products are good and sell well and do a certain thing. But they all recognized, hey, there are third-party companies out there who can do a vertically specific piece of software better than we can. And the verticals packages typically sell to a smaller marketplace, so it's not even as interesting, in terms of revenues to a big company like Intuit to go after the job shops, you know, and create a product just for them. So, so what they did is they said, okay, we will open up QuickBooks and Office Accounting and Peachtree. We'll open it to developers who want to do those great products, but send their data back and forth between the GL product and their vertical product. So they can share customer lists, they can share sales information. Essentially, the add-on product can do the debits and credits by sending messages over to QuickBooks and say, please put these debits in and those credits in for the transactions that I'm doing that are related to this inventory module. So, and they call this an SDK, Software Development Kit. So if you hear the buzzword, the QuickBooks SDK, that's what they're talking about. And an SDK is something a software company uses. It's a piece of software, if you think of a layer of software, that that company's programmers use to communicate with the host, if you will, general ledger application.
Right.
And QuickBooks has, like you said, hundreds. There's, I think, 300 or so commercial products out there covering all the different vertical markets. Obviously, they're not all inventory products, but so there's a lot of developers who are basically making QuickBooks now their platform on which they develop more features.
And but there are a pretty good assortment of people in that inventory world, because inventory is a pretty big place.
Yes. Yes. So there are so many sub.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But those aren't, some of them are competitors and others are really are so specialized that they wouldn't even necessarily apply to the same people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'll mention one company now, JobBoss. It's actually by a company called Exact Software, and it's a product called JobBoss, and it does integrate with QuickBooks. But, you know, they are so vertically focused. They are all about, you know, sheet metal job shops. Their product is very good at understanding how the job shop buys raw material, you know, which is big sheets of sheet metal, and they chop it all up and they make, you know, whatever manufactured things out of this sheet metal. Well, that's so vertical. I mean, but you know, there's a lot of job shops out there, and they need exactly the features that JobBoss does. But you couldn't ask JobBoss to go in and do a, let's say, a warehouse that has bins and multiple locations and serial number tracking of all different kinds of widgets. That's not what JobBoss is all about. It's just like just as foreign to JobBoss it is as it is to you know, maybe QuickBooks itself.
Sure.
So that's how we're talking about when we say there's sub markets of the inventory. We're talking about, you know, there's different business types that these third parties have targeted with their software design.
Okay. So, Doug, one of your awesome add-ons was actually one of these inventory companies, and fortunately for us, it just happened to be that we invited that particular company to come and join us today and talk a little bit about their product. And so I'm going to let you introduce our guest and tell us a little bit about why you selected their product as an awesome add-on.
Right.
So while you do that, I'm going to go find our guest and see if I can get him to come and join us. Is that about
okay,
the right time?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah, so the product is Fishbowl Inventory, and the company is called Fishbowl. I asked them one time, why'd you name it Fishbowl? And the idea is you can see your inventory from all sides,
so
you can look into the fishbowl.
Okay, it doesn't have anything to do with that, you know, there's another method of inventory, you know, that you got LIFO and FIFO, and there's the old joke about people use the fish method. First in, still here.
Yeah, well, that probably would have been good, but I don't think they thought that at the time. The old accountant joke.
Right, a little accountant humor there.
That's right, that's right.
It's as good
anyway,
as they get, guys.
Yeah, so we've invited Grant Kimball, the VP of Sales and Marketing, to be here with us. And Grant, are you here with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Well, maybe you can tell us about Fishbowl, when you started, what you're focused on, and I don't know if you got to hear all of the things I said about the sub-markets and all.
Yeah,
but maybe speak to that.
Okay. Well, we started about seven years ago, and when I first came on, we didn't have any product, just kind of a general idea that we wanted to do inventory control. And so when QuickBooks said that they were opening up QuickBooks to to third-party add-ons via their SDK, that's what we decided to focus on. And so we literally sat down and with several different accountants and consultants and went through the QuickBooks software and tried to figure out what QuickBooks did not provide that we could provide. And so that was kind of our marching orders and has been for the last 7 years. Things like multiple or multi-location inventory tracking, serial number, lot number tracking, wireless barcoding. I mean, we literally just kind of went through and figured out everything that we thought would be appropriate for inventory control.
You do the hard things, right?
Yes. I mean, a lot of the things that people have been asking for years in QuickBooks, but probably the biggest hitters are the ones I've just mentioned, you know, the multi-location inventory tracking, the wireless barcoding, you know, all those types of things. So what we did, our idea was that, you know, we know there's hundreds of thousands of companies out there that are using QuickBooks that are also tracking inventory. And, you know, I'm sure you've all heard of the particular issue with QuickBooks, where if you've got multiple locations and you've got part ABC at both locations, you had to call it ABC-1 at location 1 and ABC-2 at location 2. I mean, it was those kinds of issues we were trying to address. And
right. Let me just say, add right there. What Grant just said is if you were in QuickBooks, you have to have multiple item codes to track different locations of what is actually the same item. And if anybody sees anybody's QuickBooks file that's doing that, you have a disaster waiting to happen. So listen up.
in fairness to the guys in Mountain View that built QuickBooks, the people who are doing that are actually using the product to do something that, frankly, it was never designed to do.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, we all do that a little bit, but as soon as you start doing that, you are kind of asking for trouble somewhere down the line.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And so, by the way, working with Intuit has been fantastic. I mean, they opened up the SDK purposely for companies like ours to help address some of those issues and help keep QuickBooks customers on the QuickBooks platform. So what we did is we said, look, there's all these hundreds of thousands of companies out there. We're not going to go after any vertical markets right now. We decided to do what I called our vanilla package, which addresses as many of these things across all different types of verticals as we possibly could. And so we're kind of to that point right now. We do manufacturing. We do those other things that I just mentioned. We're going to be doing a little bit more, or actually a lot more, in the manufacturing arena this year. But the bottom line is that we wanted to be able to address 90-95% of what, you know, a typical QuickBooks user who's doing inventory control needed. So, yes.
Yeah, maybe you could describe for me if I use QuickBooks or Office Accounting or one of these others, what is involved? What do I get when I buy you? And then, like, where do I put my users in my company who are inventory related? What do they use every day to interact with your software?
Okay. Well, I think what you're talking about is how Fishbowl interacts with QuickBooks and who uses Fishbowl versus who uses QuickBooks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, the other products on the market. So, you know, talk about who you integrate or who you don't integrate with.
Okay. QuickBooks is the only accounting package that we do integrate with. Like I say, it was our entire focus. That's exactly what we're doing. Fishbowl is designed in what we call a client-server architecture. All that means is that it's a two-part software. You've got the Fishbowl server part of the software, which is the database, and it's a SQL database for those of you who know what that means. But that part of the software gets loaded one time, typically on the same server that you've got your QuickBooks file on. And then the Fishbowl client, that's the part you see and use all the time, all your workers, all your employees will be using. That can be loaded on as many different machines as you like, even across the internet. And if you've got, say, a 10-user copy of Fishbowl, 10 of those clients will be allowed to access the database at any given time. So as you do things within Fishbowl, like sell something, pick, pack, and ship it out the door, as you do these things, there will be certain transactions that need to be pushed over to QuickBooks. And so if you sell something and ship it out the door, there will be an invoice that's queued up waiting to go over to QuickBooks. And so Fishbowl will send that over to QuickBooks, and it will also keep the general ledger straight. So if you sell something and push the invoice over to QuickBooks, it will also make an adjustment in your cost of goods sold and in your inventory asset accounts based on the value of the thing that was just sold.
Right. So from the consultants who are listening, you know, I think one of the key things they want to make sure is that, okay, if I sell an add-on to QuickBooks, what about the integration and all? I think what you just said was really critical to that. And so you're saying that all the clients, quote-unquote, that you install of QuickBooks around the organization, so you'll install a client at the purchasing desk and at the shipping desk and
exactly
and the project managers who are running the shop floor or the warehouse
exactly.
Or whatever. Okay.
And one of the advantages to that, and we didn't even think of this when we set it up this way, is that we get a lot of very positive comments from our customers that there's a clear delineation between Fishbowl and QuickBooks. You can have all your regular workers, you know, doing all the stuff in Fishbowl, but when it comes to the accounting, we've had a lot of CEOs in particular tell us that they love the fact that there's only a limited number of people running in QuickBooks. And,
yeah,
and so not everybody has access to the QuickBooks file.
Yeah, because that's sort of the family jewels is in QuickBooks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Although, you know, you can set up QuickBooks to, you know, prevent users from seeing certain areas of the software, you know, that you don't want them, quote-unquote,
yes.
to see. But with your thing, there's more of a hardened wall between what to your typical user throughout the organization is doing
that's
and
correct.
Whether they can see or not something in the accounting software.
Doug, this is a real important thing. This is a very common theme. I hear this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to be talking about inventory or time and billing or you know, lots of different kinds of, you know, doc management, whatever it happens to be. On these add-on products, what happens is they're so good at what they do that they become the product that people are using.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you used the word before and said, you know, QuickBooks is a platform, and that's exactly what it becomes. Those GLs back there, and again, QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Office Accounting, they become the platform, and the average dude is working in whatever their vertical happens to be. In this case, today we're talking about Fishbowl, and they may not even know or care and shouldn't that QuickBooks is underneath all of that.
That's right, and I think that's one of the reasons I wanted Grant to kind of take us down that path is because that's a methodology that many developers are using to, you know, build that wall, and they're finding incredible success in the marketplace that we see with our consultants network out there. the consultants come back, and Fishbowl often wins the deal because of this security, I just guess I'll call it, the security of not having everybody putting their or logging into QuickBooks every day.
That's right.
Real
That's
benefit.
Right.
So, Grant, we're starting to get a little time constraint here, and I want to make sure that we get this next thing answered. Usually when I talk to software folk and I say to them, tell me about your product sweet spot, they say, well, you know, we basically serve everybody. We can do anything. And, you know, that's true for a lot. It's particularly true for Fishbowl because you do a lot, but you do kind of have a sweet spot. Give me a couple of examples of the type of organization, company that you guys have gone into and been able to get Fishbowl set up and really made a difference in their world.
Great, I'll do that, and I'll go one step better. I'll tell you also where we're not a good fit.
That's even better.
Okay. Any type of wholesale distribution company, even if they're importing, we've got landed costs capabilities in Fishbowl, light manufacturing, businesses with multiple locations. Another type of business, it's not even really a type. It's just it's like a conglomeration of different things. You know, a business where they might be manufacturing something, and they will also have a retail store up front, and they've got a website, you know, where they're doing all different kinds of things. Fishbowl is a great fit for that type of thing. Another one Doug pointed out to us that we weren't even really aware of is repair depots, where you've got a product that needs to come back in on an RMA, be triaged. Does it need to be fixed, trashed, or do we need to credit the customer? We're a really good fit for repair depots. Specific product types were a good fit. For some reason, fasteners, all types of fasteners, chemicals, medical equipment, sports merchandise. Those are just some examples of where we're really a good fit. And like I said, where we're not a good fit is rentals. Although, you know, each one of these I'm going to mention to you, we've got glaring exceptions to the rule, but in general...
Yeah. Some rentals. Customers that are making it work anyway is what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But why don't you pause on rentals and just describe what you mean by that?
Well, a rental, the specific feature, typically it's a fatal flaw that, you know, or a specific feature that particular type of company needs for rental is where they've got a piece of equipment they want to send out to somebody and they need the software to send out billing statements to these guys, send out invoices to these companies on a regular basis. We don't have something that will say, okay, you know, the rental rate is this, and on March 3rd, we've got to send out another one. We don't have that.
Right, or reserving, like I'm thinking of an equipment rental company.
Exactly.
Who has, you know, yard equipment, and you reserve the mower, you know, next Saturday. You don't have any modules for that.
Yeah, we don't have that. Right. Restaurants, we get a lot of companies, a lot of restaurants contacting us. When you think about it, a restaurant is kind of like a manufacturing operation. But the feature we don't have there is that touch screen that you see, the typical McDonald's. We don't have that. And there's other companies. You know, the restaurant business is such a huge business. There's software that do a much better job of that. Job shops, you mentioned that earlier. We're not a good fit for job shops. Contractors, typically we're not a good fit for contractors because we don't have a real good job shop what do they call it?
Costing.
Costing for that. Product types, things like stone, steel, lumber, seafood. Flooring and tile, those are companies.
Oh, like seafood because of the fact that it goes rotten?
Well, we do have expiration dates, but there's certain things that the seafood or meats industry needs that are very specific. You know, as an example, you buy a roast, it's never exactly 3 pounds.
Waste. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so... we don't have an easy way of saying, okay, you've got one unit that's 3.45 pounds.
Right. That's a hard problem no matter what size you're going to buy.
Lots of people struggle with that.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. So,
Grant, give me a little bit of sizing on Fishbowl. Tell me where you're at, how many people you've got, how many users you've got. Give me some ideas of that, and
sure.
Then we'll make sure we get a website thrown in here too.
Okay. We're a little over 50 employees right now. Our biggest department, Doug kind of touched on this a little bit, our biggest department by far is technical support and training. So we're very focused on making sure we provide good technical support to our customers. Our website is fishbowlinventory.com. Just to give you an idea on pricing on our software, a 5-user copy of our software is about $5,800. We've got about 2,200 companies that are using Fishbowl right now, we can't confirm that they're using Fishbowl, but 2,200 companies that have purchased Fishbowl. The number of users at each company will range from a single user to, I think, our biggest company, about 60 simultaneous users.
It's a very admirable company that you guys have built, and you're out in Orem,
Utah,
right?
Yes.
Okay, out in snow country. I just flew over that yesterday on my way back home from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, Grant, I want to thank you very much for spending time with us today, and you certainly added a lot to my understanding of some of the trials and tribulations of the inventory user in the small business world. Thanks to you guys and your staff, and congratulations on that. On that awesome add-on win. That's something you should be very proud of.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks. Doug, anything else for Grant before we let him go?
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Grant, and congratulations on building a great product and great company to sell and support it. Greg, and many of the audience members know, I would think too, the Sleater Group, my company, has actually done a partnership with Fishbowl. And so many of our members in our network actually are VARs for Fishbowl. So,
sure.
I would like to say I'm not biased at all. I think that there's great products out there, even competitors of Fishbowl. A couple of them have actually won awesome add-on awards
right.
as well.
Right.
There's a big bunch of solutions out there, yep. and we're always happy to see everybody, competing and doing even better products out there in the market.
Yeah, and Doug, one last thing. We've got, as you mentioned, we've got a great VAR program. We've got about 300 VARs signed up with Fishbowl around the country, and it's only getting bigger. There's a tremendous need out there for consulting among the types of businesses that would need inventory control / manufacturing.
Yeah, it's something the user just buys off the shelf and installs himself and go.
It's not a technical problem, and it's not a finance problem. It's an implementation problem.
Yes.
Grant, thanks again so very much. I'm going to let you go, and Doug, you and I have got a couple of other things to cover here. Thanks for arranging to bring Grant on. Good guy. Seems to certainly be knowledgeable. I wanted to talk a little bit about as good as Fishbowl is, there are other people in that area. So if we've got a consultant out there and they've got a client that's got inventory and they're looking at things,
right.
they should look at Fishbowl. Who else should they look at?
Yeah, well, in the warehousing distribution kind of world, Activate from a company called Alterity. They're also an awesome add-on winner. They do some similar things to Fishbowl and do it somewhat differently.
Yeah.
So certainly a product to look at.
We'll probably have those guys on some other time later this year, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then MISIS, which stands for Manufacturing Information Systems, they have a thing called SBM, Small Business Manufacturing.
Right.
Another awesome add-on winner.
Yeah.
And they're more focused at the manufacturing, the small manufacturers.
Right. Sure.
All Orders is another product from a company called Number Cruncher.
Number Cruncher, yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I love the name of the company.
Yeah, that's right. And most of these, by the way, the Google search is quick to get them. Otherwise, I'm sure we can list them on the podcast website.
We'll,
so
we'll have them there.
Give them links to them. Another one is something that Intuit is doing a lot with right now called Velocity. And Velocity is they're actually linked into QuickBooks more directly
uh-huh.
than anyone else. Intuit is actually selling the solution, and now their solution doesn't do nearly what almost all the rest of them do in terms of the whole workflow, handling of shipping, and all of these things. And they have the direct link to QuickBooks, so the way you launch their software is through the QuickBooks interface. So that's a trade-off that you want to consider is, do I use QuickBooks to do my purchasing and selling and all of those things, or do I use the third-party add-on to put that in front of the purchasing department and the sales department, those sorts of things.
Sure.
So that's a trade-off. Some people will opt for one way, and some people will go the other way.
Well, we've pretty well covered the waterfront at the introductory level.
Yes.
We could spend days, and I know you actually do spend full days in consulting and trying to figure out exactly what to do with just one company's inventory, much less talking about everybody. So
yeah.
we've blown way past our allotted time. It's a nice thing about podcasting is that nobody's going to come and make us stop, except we'll start losing all of our listeners when we promise them 45 minutes and we burn up more than that. So I think we probably should go ahead and wrap up episode 7 of Small Business Consulting to Go. My guest has been Doug Sleater, president of the Sleater Group, and we've been visiting about inventory tracking in QuickBooks. We had the vice president of sales and marketing, Grant Kimball, from Fishbowl Inventory on, and lots of good information. Doug, thank you again so much for your expertise. I'm looking forward to visiting with you again on May 8th at 4 p.m. Central Daylight Time when we're going to talk about QuickBooks Point of Sale.
That's right. It'll be a fun day.
Look forward to that. Thanks again for your time. And I was really, really happy. You sound a lot better than when I talked to you last week.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants this cold, man. It was a 2-week doozy.
Right. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yep.
Thanks again. My guest is Doug Sleater. This has been Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 7 from Intersection Live, the podcast series of the CPA Technology Advisor. This is Greg LaFollette. Have a great day.
That wraps up this edition of Small Business Consulting to Go. Join Greg and Doug again next month for more insight and advice you can trust. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.